for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, March the 22nd, 2008. Clement Humbard is the speaker of this service, teaching on the death of death. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
You know, supposed to be dominated by sin. Put your foot down on sin. Well, I'm just a poor little worm in the dust and the flesh. The Bible said, if you're in the Spirit, you're not in the flesh. Now, don't lie to God's Word. Well, all of us got to sin a little bit every day. What's salvation about then? That's like everybody got to drown a little bit every day. Sin underfoot, amen?
Amen?
Sickness and disease underfoot.
Amen.
Every time it pokes up its head, get underfoot, sickness and disease. It's not mine. You remember I told you about Fido? Anybody remember that? You know what you do? If I visit you and you have a little dog, Fido, you say, Clint, let me tell you something about this dog, what he did yesterday. You got rid of yours, didn't you? He got too cute. It's cute right at first, but when he started chewing up the leather sofa and a few other things, nice trained, partly trained, partially trained dog for sale. All right. But you know, you'd say, look, oh, Fido, so cute. He did this and this and this. And Fido's over there asleep. You mention his name second time, you see his ears twingle a little. Tingle. You keep talking about Fido, and I say, how old is Fido? Here's his name again. He opens his eyes. You keep talking about Fido, and I'll guarantee you, he'll get up and trot your direction and come over. He wants his neck or head scratched or something or patted a little bit. Now, I want to tell you, you don't even have to tell people you feel bad if you have a bad day. You're not going to get as much sympathy as you think you are anyway. Much teacher. Someone asked me why I fell in the lake last year, completely clothed and everything with my cell phone. And they said, why did you fall in? I said, well, it's getting harder and harder to get attention these days. That's true. But I want to tell you, you start talking, you're Fido. Well, this runs in my family, you know. My grandmother, I remember, she is all twisted up with arthritis. Keep believing, you know what you're saying. Fido, Fido, come on, Fido. Get every negative thought out of your mind. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. Do you think he was worried to death because you might get sick? Might not have health. And this is the biggest joke for this generation. When I was a kid here in Hot Springs, one fellow that there's a reason, he's living with us and attending school. And he just entered high school. And his little sign out said, shoe shine in front of the barbershop. And it's cold. He had his arms in his trousers. And he went over and leaped that at his school books. Well, he tipped the top and fell on the concrete. And it tore up something and he had to go to the hospital. When he got to Levi Hospital, that's the only one I believe we had those days, they asked 25 cents. And he didn't have the 25 cents on him. So it said, you for this enrollment card. So they said, oh, it makes no difference. You can bring it in or just forget it. He signed his name. He got the operation, everything else, out care and all. And it's supposed to cost him 25 cents, but it didn't cost anything. Boy, if you watch television today, all these new diseases and these drugs they come up with, that's not a Christian's world. They'll have you scared of your own shadow. new things every day I never heard of. Boy, you got to watch this, that, and the other. Get to your doctor. Check with your physician. Here's the side effects. Occasionally death. One third of the deaths, it's reported by the no-sos, that happen in the hospital are self-induced by the hospital. I want to stay out of there. Then today, $15-$25 for an aspirin tablet. Go down to Walgreens or Walmart and get 2-for-1 on sale if you want aspirins, and you get 200 of them for 99 cents. All right, sickness, disease. And you know, I used to hear the old timers say, walk in divine health. If you walk in divine glory, you will be in health. Go out and start praying for people that are sick, and don't mention a pain in your body or your sickness. Job was healed when he prayed for his friends. Believers shall lay, Mark 16 chapter, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Shall. Now we'll believe John 3:16, shall not perish, shall have everlasting life. See, we're not really saved in this generation. We're half saved, reserve saved. Every true believer ought to come to God in repentance when God gives a divine call, a godly sorrow that worketh repentance, the Bible said, that needeth not be repented of, and you ought to believe it all. When you come and surrender your life to God, God, thou art a God of miracles. Thou art a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. And if you're not, I have no business even seeking you or asking you. And this Bible is a book of miracles, Christianity, supernatural, miraculous, quote-unquote religion. If you don't believe in miracles, you don't believe in the true God. You've got to believe the two greatest miracles that ever staggered the imagination of mankind, even to get inside the household of faith. Then once you're in there, believe everything.
Yes.
Those two miracles, the first one is the virgin birth. Try to excuse it. Try to get around it. You can't. He's conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. If God can create the moon, sun, and stars, deliver Daniel from the lion's den, the Hebrew children from the fire furnace, walk on the water, raise the dead. Yeah. You say, well, I wonder. There's only one faith anyway. The Bible said, Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author, that's the originator, the author and the finisher, that is the perfecter of our faith. Jude said, earnestly contend for what?
Faith.
The faith. There's only one faith in one God through Christ. That faith can be released in any direction. Well, when I get faith for this or that or the other, what you're talking about, when your faith is inspired for that particular thing. And that's wonderful when it is. God is still God, and the promise is there whether we believe it or not, right? Whether we feel, but it's wonderful on the inspiration. But God doesn't give you faith for this or that or the other. He just inspires a faith that you already had. There's one faith in God, and either you have that faith or you don't have that faith. And when you get inside the household of faith, you believe in the supernatural. You believe in the virgin birth. And the second one is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wasn't in a swoon. He didn't faint. He was dead and buried, as Brother Glenn said, 3 full days. That's what the original Aramaic Greek says, 3 full days. He died on a Wednesday. He rose at sunset on Saturday. Not at sunrise. All the way, not only the Hebrew, but the Bible said that God created the night, then the day. And the Israeli people have this right. At sundown today, it's already Sunday. You hear? It's not like we believe. At midnight or day and the night, day and night. It's night and then day. So wherever we are on earth, at sundown on Saturday before Resurrection Day, We go out in any kind of weather. Sometimes I've been different places on earth alone. Can't get a hold of another believer. But I go somewhere and gaze out in the sunset, read my Bible, and quote at the end of the Sabbath and the beginning of the Sabbath. What happened? God raised Jesus from the dead. Let's go over those other things without dwelling on them. Sin underfoot, because God created you to be in dominion. Sickness, disease underfoot. Demon power underfoot. Demon power. You, all you got to do is believe it. If you travel overseas with me sometime, and sometimes it happens here in America, demon-possessed people go wild out into service. I don't get a gang of believers, beat them on the back, yell and scream. I just say, "Thou foul, tormenting spirit, come out of this man in Jesus' name." And they collapse. Well, brother, you have I don't have supernatural power. All power belongs to God. I'm just a simple little half-ignorant believer. I just believe it. I'm so simple-minded. When God said it, I just believe it. And it's settled. And that settles them because God comes on the scene and He does it. Don't be scared of demons. They're scared to death of you if you'll take the authority.
Amen.
Sin, sickness, disease, demon power, and fear. Enough has been said in this camp already about fear. God hath not given us that spirit of fear, power, blood, and sound mind. Anytime you have fear, do something. Maybe touch yourself. I rebuke this fear in Jesus' name. Then don't dwell on it. Don't call Sister Nellie and this one, that, and the other. I had the awfulest fear this morning. Enter my mind. See, if we just zip right here and talk to the Lord more and less about all this other stuff, religious gossip and all unbelief, Lord have mercy. Now, fear. And then what else? The old man, the old nature. Sure, you could pull a trigger and kill somebody, but are you? You could get up and run and knock that young lady down. You could. See, you're physically able. But the Bible shows that if we're walking with Christ, we're a new creature. Now, the other thing is poverty. And I want to tell you, when you're dealing with poverty underfoot, if any sermon you hear concerning prosperity and poverty, if it's not balanced in God's Word, let the Holy Spirit check and you do your own study. Here, in poverty, there should be the last thing is the dollar sign. Not the first thing, as normally told. It's the last thing. Time forbids to go into it. There's poverty of spirit. Poverty of friends. Poverty. There's so many things. All right. Then the next thing, the last enemy to be destroyed, 1 Corinthians 15:26, is what? Is death. Okay. Now we're going to really get into something here quickly. The Bible said in the future there will be no more death. But God said, "You shall surely die." And man started dying from that moment on. And that is the real curse of the law goes back to death. Because all of these lesser curses end in death. You'll be destroyed. See, when God says, if you do this, even the dietary laws. Now, eating pork, Brother Glenn is trying to tell you, eating pork won't keep you out of heaven. It'll just get you there a little faster. Eating ham and pork. But all of this is destruction and death. And Galatians 3:13 said Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now watch this. The main curse, though, is not in all these things in Leviticus. Are in Deuteronomy 28, the curses begin about the middle of the chapter. But the main curse that you and I are faced with is death. It's death. These things lead, if the word death is not, it says you'll be destroyed. That's the same thing. But the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. give him the sacrifice priest, even if you don't want to, and think, oh, I'm down today. Well, did you know if you say you're bored, that's a sin? That's a sin. He said, well, I'm in the grubbing hubs. That's a sin. The Bible demands, says rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. When Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he met the disciples, one of the little women first, Mary. Mary, you know what he said? Didn't say, oh, hail, like it says in King James. You know what he said? What did he say? Oh, joy. Oh, joy. He said, we all said, but the last enemy to be destroyed shall be death. You believe that? But wait a minute. I want you to go to this scripture with me because I quoted it previously. And I want you to go to 2 Timothy. I'll quote it and people won't pay any attention to it, so I'm going to take time. It said this, you'd be amazed. When Christ died, you and I died with Him. Is that right? That's what the Bible teaches. He's buried, we're buried in water baptism. He rises, and you and I, the Bible said, rise to newness of life. All right, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it said this, verse 9, who has saved us, he's speaking of Christ, called us to holy calling, according not to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, read it with me, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Death is already defeated and death is already abolished. Why are you fearing it? Christ has done away with death. You say, oh, Brother Humbert, though, out in Revelation there, you remember Revelation 20 and 21? It said, death and hell shall be cast into hell. Death has already been killed. My subject is the death of death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and the death of death has already taken place. He's not going to die on Calvary again in the book of Revelation. He's not going to raise from the dead. That's already been done. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, about verse 52 or 3 along there, it says, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He's already abolished death. There is no death to the believer. He that believeth, liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Christians never die. There's already the death of death through Christ. Oh, Lord, help me tell it. Apostle Paul said in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, he speaks of resurrection. He said, oh, the next verse he says, oh, that I might be in the out resurrection. It's the only time in God's Word it uses antasia, stand up, or resurrection with X. Back there, there's a sign that says exit. We know what that means, out of. Now, even Martin Luther, I didn't know it till I preached this and put it in a book of 40,000 copies a few years ago. Even Martin Luther agrees with me on this. And most of the great theologians of 300 and 400 years ago, 500 years ago, agreed with them. I didn't know that. But Apostle Paul said, oh, if I could only attain, but there, as he finishes that, he says, to be in the out. Turn to Philippians right quickly with me. Every believer is going to have the resurrection. You don't have to strive for that. But Paul said he is striving for something that he wanted to be counted worthy of. And here it is. He said, verse 10, that I might know him, know Christ, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That is the resurrection of the believer. Then in verse 11, he speaks of something else. If by any means I might attain, not the resurrection believer, but unto the, and it says EX in the original, X resurrection of the dead. He is simply saying that I study it. Get commentators of honest, reliable sources. He says that, thank God, there's going to be a resurrection of the believer. But he said, oh, that I might attain something else. What? Be out of resurrection. Still be alive when Christ comes is what he's talking about. In John, the last chapter, Peter's asking, you know, because Jesus said, Peter had three calls, three denials, and three confirmations. And so that's why in the last chapter of John, Jesus said, you love him? And you know, Peter wanted to get in on that. And Jesus said, what is it to you if he stays alive till I come? Shows the possibility of staying alive. And Jesus said, I mentioned it, this generation shall not pass away. Now a lot of Israeli lovers and believers, they say, the Jewish nation, that might be one meaning, but I believe it's in Luke, it said, not only the fig tree, it said, Jesus said this, when you see the trees start changing for spring. And he said, the fig tree and all the trees. See, he said all. He said, know that this generation will not pass away till all be fulfilled. How long is a generation? 33 years. How long is a generation? 40 years. How long is a generation? 70 years. How long is a generation? It's as long as he chooses. Right now, your heart is receiving an electrical charge. That's a medical mystery. You're not plugged up, dear brother, to a current. You don't have battery on you, do you? Well, you know, if we had a little machine here to analyze it, it shows that electrical charge hitting. Then that muscle. God holds that thread of life in His hand. Now, if you're alive 1 second from now, it's the mercy of God. If you're alive an hour from now, it's the mercy of God. Can God keep you alive an hour? Can He keep you alive a day? Can He keep you alive a year? Can He keep you alive till He comes? Why, absolutely. Resurrection power and life in you. Well, oh, Clement, you're preaching that never die. That's some kind of new doctrine. I'm not preaching anything but what the Word of God plainly says over and over and over and over and over. All right. Christ has abolished death. Death. And this will help some of you. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Here I quoted the same as Psalms about man in verse 7 and 8, and put all things under him, but we do not yet see all things under man's foot. Although he was originally crowned with glory and honor, because the last enemy that will be destroyed is what?
Death.
And that's the first enemy Jesus destroyed on his with resurrection power. But the last enemy of the church, the believer, is going to put underfoot is death. That's the last enemy that's going to be put under our feet. All right? Look in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus, the Bible said he came forth to bring life and life more abundantly. It said, the enemy, Satan, cometh but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. God doesn't kill people. He just removes and permits death to come. Death is not of God. Death is of Satan. Sickness, disease of Satan. Sin is of Satan. We don't understand all the mysteries of life and the mystery of death. And if we did, what could be revealed over in eternity? But I want to tell you, Satan is the author. He cometh but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. You say, well, God gave me this sickness to teach me something. Well, you're a child of God. We don't put sickness and disease on little kids to teach them something. I didn't say that you might not learn something through it. I didn't say that. Because some of this is a great mystery, and I'm not condemning anybody. But I'm telling you, if you're laying in a hospital gasping for breath, God didn't do that. If you wrap your neck around a telephone pole because of a drunken driver, God didn't do it. Satan came to kill and destroy. If God put sickness on you, then the Father and the Son are fighting. God the Father said, I'm going to make Wade sick. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes and says, huh? God the Father put it on him. But be made whole, brother. That'd be silly. House fighting against itself can't work. Death is Satan. And it said here that Christ, he's partaking flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. Here in Bible camp on this Saturday, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Break it off right now. Fear be gone. No fear of death. Break it off. In Jesus' name. All right. That means that time is about run out. Now let's apply this. How many are sons or daughters of God? How many believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We're sons of God, right? How many believe that Jesus is light of the world? How many believe Jesus when He said, ye are lights in the world? See, He's the Son of God. We're sons of God. He's the light of the world. We're lights in the world. All right. 2 Peter 1:4 said that all of the promises of God, the exceedingly great promise of God, are for us because we are partakers of the divine nature. Did you not know in Hebrews 2nd chapter when it said, He that sanctifieth and he that is sanctified is one? That's not unity. That's back to oneness. Your oneness. Oneness. The Bible said our life is hid with Christ in God. I believe Colossians 1:27 said, this mystery among the heathen is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Because He is the life, He gives us life. And we have eternal life. We are partakers, 2 Peter 1:4, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now notice, that is the condition. Every promise in God's Word is conditional. And there it is conditional. If I want to be partaker. In 1 John 4 chapter it said, God is love. Said again, God is love. Verse 17, middle of the verse said, as He is who? God. As He is love, so are we in the sweet by and by. We'll eat pie in the sky. No. It said, as He is, God is love, so are we in this world. I told you before, and I hardly preach any message that I don't mention it. In Psalms 120, I believe, verse 7, it didn't say, there for war, I'm for peace. Part of it's italics. It said, I, peace. In the original Hebrew language, the pronoun carries its own verb. And you do not say, I have peace, or It just says, I peace. That's why it's in italics. The translator said, this is too good to be true. It's not. In Christ, He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's our all in all. He's the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the great I am. He is the divine physician. He is the miracle worker. Everything is in Christ. And it said here that as He is, so shall we be in this present world. And the psalmist said, I peace. I am peace. It's one thing in babyhood Christianity. Give me four. And that's where the church is. We've wasted 450 years since the Reformation, preaching to the choir, telling Christians that they can be saved, they can be healed. You ought to know that. You ought to be out getting other people saved. You ought to be getting out and healing the sick and raising the dead. But we ought to preach to the world, here's the miracles of God. We ought to preach to the church who God is and who we are in Christ. And we ought to believe it and act upon it. Quit this little babyhood thing, crossways in and out, babyhood Christianity. Without faith it's impossible. Please God, he that cometh to God must believe that God is. And then he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek healing. No. Seek miracles. No. Diligently award of those that seek Him. Yes. All of it's wrapped up in Him. Yes. Then the blessings of God will overtake you. They'll knock you down. Yes. We ought not to be seeking blessing. Give me. Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. We ought to go out blessing humanity, blessing the kingdom of God, and wham, God's blessing knocks me down.
We don't run after money. Money runs after us.
Amen.
That's what the Word says.
Amen. Then the psalmist said this, Psalms, 104, verse 9. He said, not only his peace, but he said, I prayer in the region. Now, if you want to be wrapped up in Christ, identified with Christ, and take on the divine nature, you listen here 2 or 3 minutes. This will get you out of babyhood Christianity, probably help. Don't be in that, oh, I've got to have peace, got to have peace. Call a prayer chain, I've got to have peace. Just lift your hand and say, I am peace. What He is, I am. He's the Prince of Peace and the God of Peace. Peace of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, and I am peace. You have to make peace with God before you can come to that place, but you can. Well, did you pray your hour this morning? I believe you have to spend time with God. I'm not bragging, but I started at, 4:45 this morning. Usually, between three of us, there's usually someone up praying, walking, or kneeling, or praying, lying in the bed praying, just about all night long. All the time.
We are praying.
And you know what Psalmist said? He didn't say, he said, I'm prayer. My prayer. My whole life is a prayer. At Rex's funeral, Benny Hinn was one of the speakers. I brought the casket in the middle of the homegoing service and spoke. Liz spoke a little while and went and joined my brother-in-law. But Benny Hinn was seated here by me. And he said, I'm going to tell him one of the most important things Rex ever told me. He said, I backed Rex in the corner and said, I got to know, how many hours a day do you pray? Tell me. Rex wouldn't say anything. He said, tell me, how many hours? He finally said, Benny, I am prayer. You know why he said that? Because of what I teach. The psalmist said, your whole life can become a prayer. Whatsoever thing you desire, Jesus touched it there. Your very desires can become, for God, can become a prayer to God. You'll still pray. Oh, you'll pray. You might even pray the formal prayer. Oh, God, created a heaven and earth. You may go through all the rigmarole. But you know, I've walked with these great saints of God. And sometimes, wait, I didn't know if they're talking to me or talking to the Lord. They just walk along, you know, and they're not putting on a religious act. My mom was that way. She'd just say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Mordecai Ham, he'd just go from the earthly into the heavenly and back and forth. And he wasn't trying to put on a religious act. Your whole life can become a prayer. Do you get it? peace, your peace, you're a son of God. The Bible said, and I just quoted a little while ago, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we might be made the righteous of God. All right, you ready for it? To be identified with Christ, the church, the last enemy, cannot be destroyed in our lives. Christ has already abolished death. We're late comers. It cannot be abolished till the church identification comes with Christ, acknowledgement and declaration in John 11, chapter, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. Romans 6:4 said that God raised Jesus from the dead by the glory, the Shekinah glory. There's going to be a generation that'll come upon this earth and they will not fade away, pass away. Fade's what it means. They're going to be alive and they won't be dragging around in wheelchairs or something else. They'll be alive and stay alive till Christ comes. Psalmist said, yes, bless the Lord of my soul. Forget all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy disease, iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. What do you say? So thy youth is renewed like the eagles. There's other scriptures. It'd take an hour to preach it. But God's promise, and it's high time that the church claimed everything. Don't dodge it. Don't put it away. Don't say, well, our church doesn't believe that. Say, our church may not, but believe me, I'm going to believe it because I am a believer. And if He said, I am resurrection, it's high time the church said what He is. We are too in this present world. We are resurrection. And we say, well, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, go back to Romans 8:11. If that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will make alive your present mortal body. Had nothing to do with the future. It's right now. That mortal body means subject to decay and subject to death. And it's renewed day by day. I am resurrection. I am a son of God. Amen?
Amen.
I am a light in the world. Amen?
Amen.
I am prayer. I am peace.
Amen.
I am love. I don't try to love. I try to confess what He is. I am in this present world. I am love. Quit worrying about all these little details. Throwing yourself outside the kingdom of God. Trying to get back in always. You are already in. You're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. That's what the Bible said. Corinthians said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. All right. A closing here. How many believe the Lord's going to come back someday? You know what the Bible said? You know what the Bible said? As the lightning shineth out of the east and the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Again, the Bible said, every eye shall behold Him. Thessalonians said, the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout, the trump of God, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ rise first, we which alive and remain. Study those words. Get your Young's Concordance, your Greek or Strong's. We who are alive in that generation and remain scattered around. Isn't that an... It signifies... There's going to be people all scattered around. It didn't have to add that. What's it telling us? That generation won't pass away till all is fulfilled. And I think we have a right to claim we're going to be here for Christ's sake. Amen. You say, well, my grandmother said she... Don't belittle your grandmother. She had some of this, a little bit of this, what I'm trying to teach you today. Yeah, and what Paul had. That I'd be in the resurrection. I'd stay out of that resurrection because my body would be changed instantly when Christ comes back. again. All right, thank the Lord. And here, I want you to turn to Hebrews 10th chapter, verse 12. But this man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, after he, Christ, had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Did you not know? I believe it's about 13 places in the Word of God. It says that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Did you not know? If in Ephesians, the first chapter, and also the second chapter says we're seated there with Him. Spiritually, you're already seated with Christ. All right. It said that He sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting, watch this, till His enemies, and I just told you those enemies, and the last enemy that will destroy is death, till His enemies be made His footstool. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You want to know when Christ is coming back? I'll tell you when. Day, no man knows the day. The hour, no man knows the hour. But He's seated. Study these verses from your concordance too. It shows He is anxiously leaning forward, almost getting out of that seat. You see? Almost. He's anxious. He wants to come back to His own. He's anxiously seated, but He can't get off of that seat and the Father say, go, now's the time, till all the enemies are underfoot. And death for the church is not underfoot. When we become identified with Christ, what He is, we are in this present world. He is the resurrection life. Then the church is resurrection. When we start believing it, we'll walk in divine health and divine glory and divine honor. And every enemy will be under our foot. And Christ will come back again. Shall you stand, please? How many believe the truth I've preached you? Amen. Brother Glenn. Yes, Lord. Quicken us by Thy Spirit. My God. We shall also be resurrection. In Romans 6th chapter, it didn't say we shall also be resurrected. Romans 6th chapter said we shall also be resurrection. Lord, bless the food. Bless our fellowship together. In Jesus' name. Help us to walk with every enemy underfoot. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.